Good morning, everybody. Praise the Lord. What a glorious day today. This day the Lord hath made, and we shall rejoice in it. Praise the Lord Jesus. So today you're going to get both Pastor Karen and myself. We're going to tag team today. We did this a lot in Guatemala. It was quite fun. And the anointing grew very strong every time we did it. So the Lord's leading us to do it again today. So here we go. Today we're going to Forgive Yourself Part 3. This kind of started Wednesday night, went through Friday night, and there's been so many wonderful testimonies. The Lord's having us expound upon it today, because a lot of people are challenged with a lot of self-guilt and self-challenges that's withholding their blessings. So we're going to go forward. Thank you.
Okay, so as we know that we need to stand in faith, and when we're being in faith, then we know that that pleases the Heavenly Father. And just as we've learned, Mark 11:24, that brings all the answers to our life. And we believe that we've already received when we had prayed, not after you think that you should see the manifestation. No, you got to believe it right then. And so another acronym that we developed, being in faith is factual authentication, indisputably truthful in heaven. See, the facts are what is in the Word of God. It's not what we see. It's not what we think. It's not what we feel. It is what is in the Word of God, and therefore we know that's the truth. And anything else then is not. And so we need to know that the Word of God is the authentication and the validation of that truth. It's indisputable because God said that it is, and so therefore we believe it. And being in fear, F-E-A-R, is false evidence appearing real. And sometimes it seems so real. Pain seems real because you're feeling it in your body. But it is a lie of the devil. The devil has three jobs: to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's because he's the great deceiver. And we can't give in to those lies that are false. And we have to keep reminding ourselves that the truth is that you have already been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And we stand on that truth. And then when we keep standing, the devil runs away from us because we're submitted to the Word of God. We can then resist the devil and all his lies and false evidence, and then he flees from us. Amen?
So what does this have to do with forgiving yourself? Okay? The devil's a liar. When you don't receive your forgiveness, the devil says, remember when you did this, and remember when you did that? He is lying. Because as Paul says, I've done nothing wrong. But the bottom line is this. We stand in faith that we're forgiven. We receive our forgiveness. And when the devil tries to tell you that it doesn't matter what we did in the past, that is a lie, and we stand on the Word of God that we are completely and totally forgiven.
Right, because when Paul said he did nothing wrong, it was like when the blood of Jesus washes away all sin that's been confessed and we receive our forgiveness, then we're justified. And when you're justified by faith, and you're right, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, it is just as if you never sinned. But there are three voices that we have to recognize, and we have to identify which is which. So there's our own voice that we hear in our thoughts. There's the Holy Spirit's voice. And then there's the devil's voice, or any demon, devil, and evil spirit. And many times they try to imitate the Holy Spirit or seem good. And have you ever had a good idea and it didn't work out and you realized it wasn't a God idea? Well, this is why we have to work really hard in hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit even stronger, because a lot of people don't realize what is self-unforgiveness. And that they need to forgive themselves. We have been taught to forgive others, and we know we're supposed to forgive ourselves. And many of us do pray those prayers over ourselves, to forgive ourselves. But we don't remember how the devil can sneak in and be subtle. And so here's some things to look at, and we need to analyze how that might be affecting us through thoughts, false evidence of thoughts that are not godly. For instance, if someone said to themselves, "Oh my, why did I make that mistake?" And they're beating themselves up, the woulda, shoulda, coulda. And so if they're beating themselves up and they have regrets, or they have some kind of self-condemnation, that's never from God. And that is a form of self-unforgiveness, and you have to forgive yourself. It's a form of self-hatred. And there are other times that people might think, well, you know, they might say to themselves, that was a very dumb, stupid thing that was done. And then they think, oh, gee, that they're dumb. And then they don't think that they could be a success anymore. Or someone might think, you know, I didn't do good enough. And so that person's not going to accept me. That person I'm trying to live up to their expectations is going to reject me. And you know what? God never rejects us. It doesn't matter what you do or don't do. God loves you regardless. And if we sin, we repent of that sin. He remembers it no more. It's washed away by the blood of Jesus. Then we have to remember the sin no more. We have to choose not to give in to those thoughts and the voice of fear, a fear of failure, fear we're not good enough, fear that people won't accept us. And if we give in to those sins of thoughts, it becomes self-unforgiveness. And so we need to learn to forgive ourselves from those things. And it might turn into depression. And then depression isolates the person. And then after the person's isolated, then all these negative thoughts, more negative thoughts come, like, oh, you're not going to make it. And you know what? That's not what the Bible says. Faith is believing factual authentication of indisputably truthful words of God from the Bible, which says that you are the head, not the tail. You are above and not beneath. That God says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen?
Should I just sit down? Okay, let's be honest about this. I said this the other night. Unless you're Jesus, you've blown it somewhere. And I don't know about you guys. I don't know about you. But every time I've blown it, when I was not listening to the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to suggest we all get close to the Holy Spirit and listen to Him, okay?
Yeah, in fact, we had to repent. Okay, you know, we had a trip that we went on, and we didn't realize that the way that the flights were, because it's hard to get a direct flight from where we are and where we were going, we had to make a plane change. And as we were talking to the travel agent, we did not... we asked the Holy Spirit to guide us, but in the middle of talking to the travel agent, the travel agent was making some suggestions. We should have stopped and prayed and asked the Holy Spirit, which we did not. So the flights that were available and given to us, actually it was the only ones that were available that day, but we could have stayed another day without realizing it. We were awake for over 24 hours. From getting up, packing our bags, going to the last conference session that day, getting out that night and changing planes at 2 a.m. in the morning in another state. And so then we had a project that we're working on. We stayed up over 36 hours without sleep. And there just wasn't enough time in the day to get everything done that was on our plate. And we had to repent of not asking God what the solution could have been. Because later on, the Lord showed us some other solutions that could have happened. So we actually repented of self-hatred and yes. Neglecting ourselves and having... And the Lord showed us anytime there's a neglect of sleep, it is self-unforgiveness and self-hatred. And we didn't consult with the Holy Spirit how to work it out, even though it seemed impossible. He could have done the impossible if we asked. After we repented of that...
Before. It's also fear that you couldn't get it done,
yes.
Trusting on God.
Yes.
We thought it was all in our strength to get this project done. It wasn't. We should have relied on God and followed His lead and guidance.
Right. And then it tried to drain our anointing. It tried to drain our clarity. And so we repented of that, and then we cleansed. And then we had breakthrough. It was like, oh, praise the Lord, you know. And now things are flowing better, and we forgave ourselves. And there was some infirmities trying to affect me because I had a fall. The floor was slippery in the bathroom of the hotel room, and I fell on this tile floor. Just like he heard a, looked over, and it was me. And like a, you know, if you ever seen someone slip on a banana peel or something right on my back, I felt like I fell into a cloud of pillows. The angels of God caught me. It could have been worse because my head was going to hit the concrete. And all of a sudden, somebody held my head up so my head didn't go down. But I did have a challenge of injury to my knee and my ankle on my right leg. And this is the second day of the conference. So the first thing I did, I didn't call 911. I called 119. 1 John 1:9, I repented of rushing. And then I did my unaware sins prayers. And then I did my affirmations. And I did, you know, the rapid fire, keep doing your unaware sins prayers with the I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, 1 Peter 2:24 affirmations. And the pain left. And down to like about a number 5, from 10 to 5. And it was such kind of fall that I've heard of other people breaking their leg, but there's nothing broken, thank God. And I declared that I was going to get back on that plane to return home without being in a wheelchair, because it was very challenging to get up, to dress myself, to walk or whatever. And God, I knew, wanted us to be at that conference. The devil didn't want us to be there. And so we forged ahead. And you know what? I had to forgive myself for making that mistake. And after I did that, all of a sudden, the swelling, because it was like 3 times the size of my ankle, I wore these sandals that has Velcro and I could loosen it. It wasn't even buckling. And so after I forgave myself, I could buckle my shoe. It went down immediately, like a healing balloon, immediately, because of forgiving myself and receiving that forgiveness. And then when I prayed the unaware sins prayers and the healing affirmation, then I could receive the healing from it. So what we preach is what we live. School of hard knocks. We don't want you to have to go through this, okay?
And we're human. We make the same mistakes. So we're coming to you down and tell you, we have to forgive ourselves and receive our own forgiveness, okay? So in Matthew 6:14-15, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you not forgive men their trespasses, neither your Father forgive your trespasses. Now think about it for a second. That means you still got to forgive yourself, or the Heavenly Father will not forgive you. Remember, Jesus said on the cross, forgive them, Father, for they know what they do. He forgave us. If we don't receive our forgiveness and walk in total forgiveness, it's like saying, Jesus, your gift wasn't good enough for me. I don't receive your gift. All that he did for you, me, it doesn't matter. But that's not what we want to do. We want to walk in forgiveness of all times. Remember, Jesus forgave us of our sins. He knew 2,000 years ago the sins you were going to make today. He knew the blunders you were going to make. And he's already forgiven you for it. So it's receiving forgiveness.
Amen. And remember, operating in faith is partnering with the Holy Spirit to obey his voice. And operating in fear is partnering with a demon of fear and obeying its voice, which convinces the person to commit the sin of assumption, deceived by false evidence appearing real. And so when I was challenged to be rushing, I was listening to a demon without realizing it, instead of walking in the fruit of the Spirit. That's where our power lies, in the fruit of the Spirit, of walking in love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, humility, and self-control. I should have trusted God enough that we could just get everything done, even though we got in really late for the flights and to be able to go to the conference. And James 1:13-15 says, let no one say he is tempted. I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. This is a very familiar scripture, but the Lord showed me something very interesting. I never realized that sometimes that we are tempted to walk in self-unforgiveness. And when we don't forgive ourselves and we're walking in self-hatred, we are actually opening up the door to the devil to attack us. And it is a temptation when you hear the words, oh, you weren't good enough, or you didn't complete that well enough, or that was a dumb thing, or, I tried, but I cannot. All those things are lies, but they're temptations of the devil to believe the lie that is not the word of God, okay? So we have to start recognizing that so it won't give birth to sin of rejecting ourselves or hating ourselves and having to repent of those things when you recognize them. And then, because when people start getting into depression, a lot of people have just been so challenged that the doors to the enemy were open and then they ended up not making it. And that is not going to happen to us. We're going to recognize this. Amen. And so the parable of the sower of seed is so important, because what we sow, we're going to reap. So we have to sow the word of God into our minds, renewing our minds with the watering of the and washing of the word of God. Amen.
So we all know the parable of the sower, about sowing good seed. You know, some falls on good ground, some falls on bad ground. We all know this parable. But as we sow, we reap. Now, are you able to forgive the people who offended you? But if you do, why can't you forgive yourself? It's the same demon that caused both challenges. The person that offended you was caused by a demon. Your own offense was caused by a demon. Okay? Now, Luke 6:37, forgive and you shall be forgiven. Okay? You shall be forgiven. So if you are forgiven, why is anybody holding on to unforgiveness? Why is anybody holding on to any guilt or bitterness and mistakes of the past? You've been forgiven. You've been pardoned. You've been pardoned by the greatest deity in all times. You are completely pardoned. No person, no government official, nothing can override that pardon. Okay? Mark 11:25-26. We all should know this one. Forgive others, that your heavenly Father in heaven may forgive you, which includes forgiving yourself. But if you do not forgive, neither will Father in heaven forgive you. Therefore, sow forgiveness and reap forgiveness. Do not sow unforgiveness, and you will not reap unforgiveness. We have to be very, very careful here. We're walking on thin ice. We are forgiven. The challenges that you've had in the past are in the past. Let them go. You've repented of them. Let them go. Okay, Karen?
The consequences of unforgiveness. Sin hinders your prayers. You'll find that in 1 Peter 3:7. And Colossians 3:19. Number two, prayers are not answered if your heart condemns you.
Let me interject here. I mentioned a lot of people about unworthiness. They feel like they don't deserve to receive their healing. So they don't deserve to receive their financial breakthrough. And they do. Because God said it. I don't care what your circumstances are. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what the reports say. I don't care what your checkbook says or what the bills say. You know, the bottom line is God says that you are healed and you live a life of abundance. Therefore, let's not look at the physical things. Let's reach out toward the things of God, that supernatural things of God.
So prayers are not answered if your heart condemns you. And sometimes people have failed expectations and then they feel condemned. Well, you know what? We all make mistakes, but that's why God forgives us. And we have to forgive ourselves for it. And we have to learn from it. And don't just get kicked off the horse, get back on it, and let's keep moving forward. With iniquity in your heart, number three, God will not hear your prayer. So when there's self-unforgiveness and you haven't forgiven yourself, you don't realize that it blocks God from hearing you because it's still sin. And so we have to start analyzing, why are there some stagnant areas in our life that we haven't received from God what we had been praying? So I know that you've received some wonderful testimonies and praise reports already in your life. But the areas that you're still struggling with, I want you to really take a look at, is there some areas you need to forgive yourself? Is there self-unforgiveness, self-hatred, self-neglect, self-rejection, self-punishment, opposing yourself? Are there things that you're still beating yourself up about, self-condemnation or self-righteousness, that you think everything's great, but actually it wasn't lining up with the Word of God? A lot of people think that what they're doing is right, but if the Word of God speaks against it, then it's still sin. Number four, if your heart, so that's number four. And number five, unforgiveness brings tormentors. Wow, so tormentors. If someone has a hard time sleeping, or if they constantly have a rewind of thoughts from trauma, that's a torment. Or fear that comes, then that's attacking that person because of unforgiveness. Well, you say, I've forgiven everybody I know, but are there things you haven't forgiven yourself from that maybe there's still a hook that's allowing those tormentors to come? Number six, unforgiveness can result in being kicked out of the church and away from God's protective covering into the devil's realm. And number seven, unforgiveness can cause the person to be turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Now, we don't want that to happen to anybody, so that's why we're wanting to target this teaching. Amen?
Now, self-unforgiveness is one of the biggest tormentors there is out there. People wake up at night regretting mistakes of their past. People be challenged, and they'll just feel so unworthiness that they won't perform. They will take this. But I want you to remember the story of the paralytic man. And Jesus walked up to him and says, your sins are forgiven. And, oh, you can't do that. You can't forgive sins on the Sabbath. He says, what do you say? Your sins are forgiven, or pick up your mat and walk. And the guy picked up his mat and walked. Now, here's the thing. That man didn't say, God, I can't be forgiven of my sins. He received his forgiveness right there, and he got his healing right there because he received his forgiveness. That's the important thing here. These people who are holding on to challenge their past, unforgiveness, whatever mistakes they've held, whatever guilt they're feeling, whatever issues, challenges they have, it doesn't matter. It's been forgiven. It's in the sea of forgiveness as far as God is concerned. Receive your gift. Receive it now. And receive all the blessings God has, because that challenge is a dam that's stopping the gifts from coming through to you right now. Your healings, your financial breakthroughs, your emotional things, your reconciliation with family, all because of personal unforgiveness. Let's go again.
So that dam needs to have a breakthrough to break that through confessing sin, okay, which restores fellowship back to God. And we have to repent, renounce, and break those sins. And so, number one, of course, the solution is 1 John 1:9. If you confess your known sins, that God forgives you all of your sins. And number two, when he does, he has already forgiven you, and we have to receive that forgiveness, then your relationship is restored back to God. And if your brother sins against you, go and rebuke him in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. However, if you sin against yourself, you have to restore your relationship back to yourself so you love yourself. Do you know autoimmune challenges the Lord showed me? Body attacking itself, it means that there is hatred against yourself. It's unforgiveness against yourself. And the body should never attack itself. That is not normal. Our immune system should attack invaders and outsiders. And so we've seen people get immediately healed of autoimmune challenges because of forgiving themselves. Number three, forgive as many as 70 times seven and your debts will be forgiven. And so when you forgive yourself over and over and over, no matter how many times we blow it, we need to just forgive ourselves and then ask God to help us do better. we are not the result of failure. We are in Christ Jesus. And so failure is a sin. It doesn't mean that you are a failure. It means you had something that failed. You cannot be a failure because you are a born-again creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. And so you are good because God made you a new creature. Amen? And so let's not let the devil lie to us and think that you're a failure. You're not. Because God chose you, the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe, loved you so much that he gave his son for you and me and brought you into his family because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, in Jesus' name. And when you are forgiven, then you must forgive others from your heart. And it must mean that you have to forgive yourself from your heart as well.
Now, Matthew 9:5, Psalms 103:3, James 14:15. Forgiveness is the prerequisite to healing. Period. That includes self-forgiveness. Receiving forgiveness gets you healed, like when Jesus forgave the paralytic of his sins. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Christ forgives continuously. Now, going back to the 70 times 7, that's not 490. I have a pastor friend who's a professor of mathematics, and we were talking about this one time. He said 70 times 70 times 70 times 70, seven times. Basically, it's infinity. There is no amount of anything that lets you keep on unforgiveness. And thank God, because of all the mistakes I made, I'm grateful that God has continued to forgive me, and I haven't reached any limit there, in Jesus' name.
So, when we forgive ourselves, there are no blockages to our prayers. And so I saw the healing in my knee and my ankle, and I was able to go on the plane and walk on my own accord without any assistance. And then I could see improvement and receiving more manifestation of the healing in my knee and my ankle. And it was still very challenged and painful and swollen, but not to the three times amount it was. Every day I saw improvement. And after we repented of forgiving and gave ourselves, the next morning I woke up and my leg was a normal size.
Now, when somebody points out your sins of the past, and Satan will see to it that somebody will point out your sins of the past.
Yep.
Always remember the woman that Jesus looked at and said, the people were going to stone her. But he who has never sinned cast the first stone. And nobody could cast a stone. Now, it says he was writing things down on the sand, and they really don't know what it was. My theory, I can't prove this. This is James's theory, Pastor James's theory. He was writing the different sins, adultery, stealing, da-da-da-da-da, on the sand. And I think as they saw their sin in the sand, they were convicted. But here's the thing. He says, I do not convict you. I'm paraphrasing a little bit now. Her sins were forgiven. Go and sin no more. Okay? Your sins are forgiven completely, totally, 100%, washed away clean by the blood of Jesus on the cross. And I'm hoping everybody who hears this right now or in the future is totally clean of any guilt or condemnation that the devil's trying to put on you. Because that is a lie. You are pardoned. You are cleaned. And as you go forward, must go forward with the boldness of Christ, because Christ is inside of you, and he is stronger than any demon or any comment or anything anybody can make to you. And when somebody does say something to you, just know that you've been forgiven. You don't have to respond. Just let it go. As Pastor Sarah always says, like water off a duck's back. Just let it roll off. Doesn't bother me. You know why? Because I've been forgiven. I've received my forgiveness. As you receive your total forgiveness, all the blessings of the Lord come upon you. In Jesus' name.
There's this one lady that Pastor James had prayed for a long time ago, and she was bedridden. She was probably at the time like 45 years old, somewhere in that range. And she could not get out of bed, and she had to be helped. And then she came for prayer, and he prayed, and the Lord showed him that she had to forgive. And she said, I don't know anybody that I have to forgive. I've forgiven anybody, everybody every time that I need to. So she had said the forgiveness prayer whenever she was offended. But the more and more we prayed, the more and more the Lord kept pressing that she needed to forgive. Well, she needed to forgive herself for a really, really big mistake that she made that was in her youth. And we didn't realize that every single day she woke up feeling condemned and guilty because of it, because of the consequences that she had to face every day, and she didn't ask the Lord to help her through it. Well, after she forgave herself, she was able to get up, and when we were done with the prayer session, she ran out of the room, and there were some stairs, and she ran up the stairs, and to this day is still perfectly healed, healthy, and whole. Isn't that exciting?
And we saw her a couple weeks later. She looked 20 years younger.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing, the difference in her.
Absolutely.
And the smile on her face and the joy in her, you know. And her whole life turned around because she was able to forgive herself for a mistake that she made when she was 19 or 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another lady, she was scheduled for a double mastectomy and came to us for prayer. And as we were praying, Pastor James, heard these thoughts that she needed to forgive. And she said the same thing. I'm a good Christian. I always pray and forgive people. I don't know anybody else I need to forgive. So he said, well, let's pray and the Lord will show you what that is. And so every time we ask the Holy Spirit what it is, and we encourage the person to ask the Holy Spirit usually shows up and reveals it. And to make a long story short, she didn't realize that although she had prayed the prayer, she still had resentment against the person who had offended her years ago. And she felt guilty that she ever got involved with that person and couldn't forgive herself. And she didn't realize that she was beating herself up because of it, and felt bad. And when she was able to forgive that person to a deeper level and release that person, and then we taught her to say, I love that person with the love of the Lord, and bless that person to find Jesus and have the labors of God minister to him and help him and bless him. And then she was able to forgive herself, bless herself, and receive from the Lord. And that was on a Friday. Monday, she was scheduled for the double mastectomy. She went into the office earlier and she asked the doctor to check her. They could not find any cancer and canceled the surgery. Is that exciting?
Praise
God. Praise the Lord. It was so good.
Yes.
Amen.
Exciting. You know, and I wasn't going to tell this story, but I was doing very well for myself before I got married to Karen because of my businesses and things. And I trusted people who embezzled a bunch of money. And I'd forgiven them, but I finally had to forgive myself because I was the one that allowed them to take advantage of me. And it wasn't until I forgave myself and got rid of that guilt feeling for the money I've lost and the people I could have blessed and things that didn't go right, that I was able to get past that and get things working better in my life. So I respect what this is saying. We are practicing what we preach here.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not perfect. And there's times where we have to say, okay, what's going on here, Lord? And he brings back something from maybe years ago we still have to work on. But the bottom line is we continue to work on it. Every one of us is a work in progress. So as we do this, we're going to do a forgiveness prayer. I would suggest that everybody forgive themselves right now. So let's do this. So please repeat after me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father,
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I forgive anyone.
I forgive anyone.
Who has offended me.
Who has offended me.
In any way.
In any way.
Shape or form.
Shape or form.
Knowingly or unknowingly.
Knowingly or unknowingly.
By omission or commission.
By omission or commission.
And every person.
And every person.
Who has participated.
Who has participated.
In any of my sins.
In any of my sins.
Or caused me to sin.
Or caused me to sin.
Or been affected by my sins.
Or been affected by my sins.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I also forgive myself.
I also forgive myself.
Of any sin.
Of any sins.
In any way, shape, or form.
In any way, shape, or form.
Knowing or unknowing.
Knowing or unknowing.
By omission or commission.
By omission or commission.
I forgive. Oh, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I forgive all of us.
I forgive all of us.
That includes you.
That includes you and me.
Yeah. From my heart.
From my heart.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I bless all of us.
I bless all of us.
From my heart.
From my heart.
To walk in love, joy, peace.
To walk in love, joy, peace.
Patience, gentleness, goodness.
Patience, gentleness, goodness.
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness.
And not become offended anymore.
And not become offended anymore.
Okay. Now we're going to sing the song, I Love You with the Love of the Lord, three times.
I love me.
Okay.
I love me with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love me with the love of the Lord. I can see in me the glory of my King. And I love me with the love of the Lord. So we're singing, I love me. Yes, I love me with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love me with the love of the Lord. I can see in me the glory of my King, and I love me with the love of the Lord. This time really mean it. Yes, I love me with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love me with the love of the Lord. I can see in me the glory of my King, and I love me with the love of the Lord. Now here's your assignment. I would like you to consider that every morning that you get up to look in the mirror and you sing that song to yourself. And why? Because as the more you love yourself, and that perfect love of God that's in you is going to be blossoming more, and the more it blossoms and the more it saturates you because it's inside of you and you're activating it more. Perfect love casts out all fear. And the fear that you're not good enough, the fear that you have made mistakes and cannot be successful, the fear that you blew it and things cannot be turned around will be gone. Because it casts out all fear, and you'll be walking in forgiving yourself and have forgiven yourself when you prayed, when you sang. You now are forgiven. You forgave yourself, and don't let that condemnation come back in. Amen?
I'll give you a quick example. I once met a guy. He was the 10th-ranked contender for the heavyweight championship in the world. And he was beating himself up because he was never better than that. And he just wasn't quite there. I said, look, you're the 10th ranked contender. That's an amazing feat. I like how he makes the NFL and says they're not good enough because they didn't win a Super Bowl run. You made it to the NFL. That's an amazing feat. Look at what God has done as opposed to what little bit you're missing out on. Because it's an amazing feat in every one of us. Every one of us is doing amazing things for God. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we bless you today that as you have forgiven yourself, now you have your breakthrough. Your prayers are not hindered. God can hear every prayer. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for the breakthrough in every person's life today that's greater than ever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Let's do a USP. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus.
I'm not aware of any sins. In the name of Jesus, thank you for cleansing me of all unrighteousness. And that includes self-unforgiveness. According to 1 John 1:9. All right, let's take our body right now. So, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, according to 1 Corinthians, repeat after me, please. I take this body and eat this bread. In doing so, I agree and receive that I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Thank you, Jesus, for all you did for us. Take the blood. In the name of Jesus, I take this cup of blessing, and I agree and I receive, because of the blood of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit, who dwells in me, quickens my mortal body, and restores it to the life of God. Been healed and restored in Jesus' name.